Stephen here, we're now live.
Sweet.
Recording, should I say.
Sweet, bro.
Cheers for coming over, man. I appreciate that. My first face-to-face podcast.
Yeah, man. It's good to be here. We finally got it done. Yeah. I mean, we're here now.
Well, you've got a busy schedule with all the news that's come out and stuff like that as well. So, so for those listening, obviously, that might not know about you and your story, tell us about your like, background, how you got into MMA, like, why you got into MMA and all of that.
So, why I got into MMA was, actually I'll start right at the beginning. Why I got into fighting was because I grew up, where I grew up, it was like, it's quite rough, it's a tough place to grow up. And but boys, they always fight, right? And when I was young, I never fought back. I was too scared to fight back. And I was quite like a soft, innocent kid, really. And then my old man had enough of me being pushed about and that. So he took me down to a boxing gym. I actually went to a gym called Kennedy's first in Warrior Square. An old ghetto gym. It was brilliant, man. It was sick. And then that shut down maybe like a year in. And then we went up to Western ABC. And then, mate, just went on from there. I can't remember how many fights I had, but I boxed for maybe 6 or 7 years.
Nice.
So, yeah, what got me into fighting was being bullied, I'll be honest with you. So I thank them now, really, how well it's going.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I boxed for maybe, I had my first fight at 13 years old, and I think I had my last one around 16 or 17, and then I was just like lifting weights and messing about, being a lad, you know, getting a job and that, and then my friend, a good friend of mine, was doing MMA, and I never used to really appreciate MMA too much.
Yeah.
I just think it was a bit of a joke, like back then, we're talking 10 years ago, I just thought it was a load of nutters in a cage, didn't have much technique, and just like brutes, do you know what I mean? Anyway, we was in the gym, this local gym, and I was just lifting weights, and he was in the back room on the mats, kept asking me to come for weeks, come spar, come try it. I was like, nah, it's not for me, this karate cuddling stuff, yeah? Little did I know. And then one day, I finished my weight session. I went into the room. He's like, come on, I've got some spare gloves. And I was just thinking, ah, oh, fuck it, I'm here now. I'm just going to kick his ass with my boxing, yeah? He kicked the living shit out of me. Kicked me, kneed me, took me down, armbarred me. Back then, I didn't even know what an armbar was. I was like, wow, what's that?
Yeah.
What's that wizardry? Do you know what I mean? And then I fell in love. I think it does one or two things for young lads with big egos. Either, like, makes you want to never do that again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you're like, fuck, where do I do that? So I was like, okay, what's that? We're doing on the ground there. He's like, that's called jiu-jitsu. And then the kickboxing on the feet. I knew about the kickboxing thing, but it was very new for me because a boxer being kicked, it's like a wake-up call.
Yeah.
I love boxers, but they're very stuck in their old ways. And a lot of them have got that ego, I'll just box your head off. I was the same guy. I was that guy.
Mm.
But trust me, if you get kicked in the leg, or you get grabbed up, there's not a lot you can do if you're a boxer, you know. So I started off at a place, it was called Dark Star back then, which is now Gracie Bar. I started off with Paul Bridges. I stayed there till I got my blue belt. And then I wanted to go down the MMA route a bit more. And it wasn't really happening in Hastings at the time.
Mm.
There was a few guys like dipping their toe in that, but no one was really, in my opinion, worthwhile staying around for.
Yeah.
So I said to Paul, we'll do our own thing, I appreciate everything. So I went to Eastbourne and I had my first fight under Sparta MMA. I think I was there 10 weeks. They had got me a fight. I was like, wow, I'm fighting. So I was there 10 weeks and then they got me a fight. I had another 4 weeks. And then I had my first fight in Colchester, my first amateur MMA fight. And then it's gone on from there, evolved from there. I love it, mate. I feel like I'm just getting started. I'm 9 years in, but I've never felt so great. Like, injuries, I feel good. Everything's better now. I understand my own body now, my own mind now. It's taken me to get to 29 to really understand it. Because we all have, listen, everyone does, but we all have insecurities and things like this and that. But it's the right time now. I think, if I was to get offered what I've been offered now, this Bellator contract, maybe 2 years ago, I don't think I would have been mentally ready for it.
Mm.
Now I'm mentally ready for it. Now I'm physically ready for it. And I think it all comes together. It's got to come together, really. And it has done for me. So, yeah, I look forward to what's coming. And I'll show everyone what's up. You know what I mean? The first guy in this town, from this little town, to get to Bellator. That's good. That's good. But now you've got to get in there, and we're going to get the first win from this town. This little town. Do you know what I mean? We're going to get the first win, and then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, exactly that. Well, I mean, it's a great story as well. Do you know what I mean?
I can't think of anyone massively successful that's come from.
You've got Gareth Barry, right?
Yeah, football.
Gareth Barry.
Maybe a couple of like fucking snooker players or something, but another one sort of within
the sort of MMA world. I mean, you've had like a few boxers, Vikings, and things like that who have been all right.
You've done well, yeah.
Well, but it's another level now, do you know what I mean? And especially with the competition nowadays, because everyone's been training what seems like forever.
Yeah.
You know, I would look at the kids that are training jiu-jitsu who are like 12, 13, 14, I think, man, give them 10 more years. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be scary.
They're little studs, aren't they? Yeah. They really are, like a bear and bowler in each other, and absolutely amazing. It's brilliant to see. Because when I first started, I had to sell it to everyone. Do you know about jiu-jitsu? No, what's that? Oh, look, it's this. Let me show you this. Let me do this. Now, everyone knows. Everybody knows now, and everyone's doing it. Like, there's gyms everywhere. There's MMA gyms. There's jiu-jitsu gyms. And it's all around the country. Even the jiu-jitsu scene's getting big now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Do you know what I mean? Everyone talks about UFC. Everyone watches UFC. So it's brilliant to see. But
There's still those people, aren't there, just cuddling on the floor.
You're always, the thing is, right, you're always going to get that. You're always going to get that, but it's getting smaller. And then people who say, oh, what, cuddling on the feet, they're already putting that stigma on it because they know they probably can't get their ass kicked and it's probably too much for them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's probably too much for their egos to take.
I think another part of it as well is... when you watch high levels like black belts and stuff like that, role,
it's a different game. Do you know what I mean? And to someone who doesn't understand the sport, they're thinking, what are these people doing here? Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, they're just waiting for
one wrong move.
That's it. And at lower levels, it looks funny because it's so spazzy. That's the old spazzy white belt standing on one of them. So,
yeah.
But it's
Mate, we was all that spazzy white belt. We were all that spazzy white belt, you know? We was all, I can remember being a white belt. I look back and I laugh. But,
The levels in the game as well. I've rolled with Paul Bridges, he asked me if I was finished. I see the role now. And I was like, thinking, yeah, all right, mate.
And suddenly I was thinking, oh, fucking wish. I've never even said yes to this. Because he wasn't horrible with me. It's just the weight. Just knowing how to put your weight on your weight.
There's levels, right? There's levels.
Another game.
That's when you really understand levels, isn't it?
Yeah.
That saying gets thrown about quite a lot, but when in jiu-jitsu you can feel it.
Yeah.
You really do feel each and every other level. Like, oh, you're here.
Yeah.
I'm here. I mean, it's no line. I love that about jiu-jitsu. In other sports, you can kind of get away with it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's say boxing. You can get away with it a little bit.
Yeah.
Someone's got they look quite big and they can move quite well and they just jab and move a little bit. They can almost, you think, oh, he's quite good. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he's not really that great. He's just like quite athletic, strong, fast. Technically, Billy, he's not that great.
Yeah.
Let's do jiu-jitsu. After about a minute, 90 seconds, I'm going to feel like if you've got anything for me or not.
Yeah.
And it's the most beautiful thing because there's so much bullshit in the world and so much lies and deceit. Do you know what I mean? Jiu-jitsu, there's no lying. You can't lie your way around the mat. Do you know what I mean?
No. I can't just turn up and be like, I'm a black belt, mate.
Yeah.
Because you'll quickly see within about, 90 seconds.
You'll be drowning. Yeah. You'll be getting drowned, you know?
And someone will be going, I thought there was a black belt, mate. You'll be like, oh, my God.
Your ACL torn off.
You went over to obviously, Brighton to do the BJJ competition over there.
Oh, the Brighton Open.
Yeah. Why so many categories?
That's mental. My mate was like,
I used to compete jiu-jitsu like maybe once or twice a month, as much as I could, if I could afford it. I was broke, but we made it happen because I enjoy it so much. I love it. Love going around the country and competing. I still will as well. Just this camp, I've just been concentrating on this camp. It's a big fight. But I will be competing again in jiu-jitsu a lot. I feel like there's not many guys that do both at a high level. it's one or the other. Like, I know I'm not going to mention names, but there's big MMA guys in the country that if we was to go and do a jiu-jitsu comp, I'd kill them. But if we was to go and fight in a cage, it'd be tough. And I still think I could kill them, but it'd be tough. I can do both. But going back to Brighton Open, I don't know. Like, I signed up for two. I was thinking I was doing no-gi and no-gi absolute. And then one of the organisers was like, would you jump in and do this? Because the guy's not got an opponent or this and that. And then before he knew it, he stuck me in four or three other divisions. I was like, ah, fuck it, why not? Brought my gi, didn't compete in my gi in maybe 2 years. I just thought, why not? I was bored, you know what I mean? And then I got this thing in my head. I come over and I was just like, ah, five divisions. I wonder if we can do five golds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I beat some big names that day. And it was a brilliant day. What did I have? Eight matches. Yeah, 108. Got a few subs and that. Obviously, the highlight of that day for me was it was Father's Day as well. So I had my son with me. And I got my black belt on the podium, which I weren't expecting at all, with my teammates in front of my son. And obviously, five golds is nice, but a black belt, it was a cherry on the cake, you know what I mean? I can't answer it, bro. I was bored. I just wanted to go and have as many scraps as possible. Yeah. When I go to these jiu-jitsu comps, when I was like a white or blue belt, I wanted to have as least matches as I could. One or two matches, and I'm like, yeah, that's gold, yeah, sweet. But that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Now when I go to jiu-jitsu comps, I want as many matches as I can because I know, like, it's brilliant, mate. It's brilliant. Like, it's gold.
Mm.
You know, one it got to a stage at one point where I thought I was too big to do jiu-jitsu comps in a little leisure centre.
Mm.
And then I saw some big names there who fight MMA, high level, like Claudio Silva and things like this, and Tom Breeze at the time. He's not in the UFC now, but he was. And I was just like, they're here. It's not big enough for them. And they're in the UFC. They're the biggest. So I was like, change your mindset. Compete as much as possible. Do you know what I mean? And it goes back to like them old samurai days. I don't know if you've read the Book of Five Rings.
No.
Mate, it's a good book. I'll let you borrow it. But he was like, always compete as much as possible. Compete, spar as much as possible. And it's true. Like, yeah, you have to find the right guys to spar with and that. And people you can trust, things like this. But I feel like under pressure, that's where you get really sharp and your timing becomes crisp and you know what I mean? There's a few guys who say you don't have to spar anymore. Just like get really fit and hit pads, it's enough.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, in my opinion, it's not. I need to spar.
Yeah.
I need to spar, mate. Not every day, but 3-4 times a week, I like to spar.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, well, that's too much, but I only spar real hard once a week.
Yeah.
Big gloves, head guard, once a week, and then the rest is more technical. But I'm still working on my timing and everything like that, my takedowns, my shots, my punching. But yeah, man, I'm getting carried away. Yeah, sharpening my tools. Like it's like a guy sharpening his axe to cut the tree down. What's that old saying? He's sharp. If he's got 10 hours to cut a tree down, he's sharpening it for the first nine.
Yeah, yeah,
right. I don't know. True. Yeah.
No, I don't mind the saying, mate. Cause I can see the relevance for sure. Right. And I agree, man. It's good to compete, just keep shopping, just working on things, keep yourself fresh. Like,
and with the sparring element, like you said, training around hard once a week.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? The other sessions, it's not to say you're not training hard for probably the normal people that come along. They'll be going, fucking hell, this is hard. No, mate, this is a light session.
This is the thing is, this is my life. This is my life, like. There's a lot with Instagram and social medias now, a lot of fighters, a lot of them, and I know this for a fact, this is not my opinion, a lot of them stunt. A lot of them are turn up late, do a few rounds. Are we doing a picture? Are we getting a picture?
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking me, they're more bothered about the picture than they are about how they did in the class.
Yeah.
If you really sit down and think about it, the best guys in the world, they're first, and then they're on the mats last. And they really think about their training and they really think how they did, or, you know what I mean? Or they try new stuff. Like, I'm not here to stunt. This is my life. Like, I think about my life without fighting. I'm like, what would I do?
Yeah.
Watch EastEnders. Do you know what I mean? Like, how sad?
Yeah.
How sad? Like, I don't think I will run this motor into the ground. Until the wheels fall off, I won't stop. Like, people go, oh, I want to be done by this time. I'm like, oh, If I'm still getting big paychecks and my body can do it, I'll be doing it. Yeah. You know what I mean? I reckon I'll probably have to change my lifestyle and change my training regimen, but because I'm 29 and I'm still young. But yeah, I'll run this fucking thing into the ground.
What's your plan with your opponent coming up?
Yeah, he's a heavy hitter, and that hits, looks like he hits hard, and he's a bit wild and that, and he's game. So I say I respect him. I respect every opponent. If I'm fighting in a leisure centre in fucking Brighton or something, I respect him. That's just how I am. I've never walked into a fight thinking I'm Bruce Lee or Muhammad Ali and no one can touch me, because it just ain't me.
Yeah.
I've tried it before and it just weren't me. I'm a very humble guy, so I believe in myself, but I'm a humble guy.
Mm.
I believe this, you know what, when people talk to me about game plans and that, never had a game plan in my life. Every single fight, I've gone in there, I'm going to hit him, try not to get hit, and look good.
Yeah.
That's it. Take him down, beat him up, sub him, whatever. However I can get him out, I'm going to get him out, and I'm going to try and take as minimal damage as possible.
Exactly.
For these young guys who think they're tough taking all the damage, I tell you now, it catches up with you and your body like will never thank you for it. Try not to get hit. Don't listen to people saying you run too much, you're on the counter too much. If that's your style and you're slick and you don't like being hit, fucking keep doing it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's only so many dings the brain can take before it's like, and it doesn't matter if it's in sparring or not. Your brain don't know when it's being hit. Sparring fight. It's just getting hit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, for the preparation for this is coming as big, as fit, as strong as possible. And hit him with some shit. Try not to get hit with some shit. I'd love to get the takedown. And there's going to be times in the fight where I will get the takedown. I believe in it so much, you know. I think the second or third round, this guy's a tough cookie. It's going to be me or him, round two or round three. I'd say bet your money on him.
Yeah.
He's going out, you know. But it'd probably be a storm the first round. You know what they say about storms. They can't last forever, right? And I'll come through. I'll be that raver coming through, mate. Do you know what I mean?
What's your weight going to be like?
Do you know what? Get a lot of guys say easy peasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say easy peasy, and then you see them fight week. They're all stressy and snappy. I'm that guy. So for me to sit in and go, oh, it's easy peasy, is a bit of a cop out. There's no good way. There's no easy way of cutting weight. It's all shit.
Yeah.
Cutting salt, cutting carbs, cutting calories, water loading. It's all shit. It doesn't feel good. But for me, I've gotten better at it. And I try and come in as big as possible now. Whereas before, I'd come in, I'd lose a lot of fat. And when you lose fat, you can't put it back on in 24 hours.
Mm.
You weigh in 24 hours before, right? So now I do it with water. I only try and lose water.
Mm.
Water, you can put majority of it back on in 24 hours, a good amount of it.
Yeah.
So the last two fights, I've actually looked like a middleweight. You know what I mean? I've actually looked big enough to be a middleweight, because I've always ummed and ahed, am I a middleweight? I feel like I am now. You know what I mean? We're lifting a lot more now, and I'm throwing heavyweights about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Throw heavyweights about. When I grapple with big guys, I feel like I have to rein it back a bit. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm too much. When I'm punching, I feel like I'm too much. So, yeah. Wait, I'll cut the weight the last week. I eat good now. I'm not too hard on myself with it. Like if I want some sweets, I have some sweets.
Yeah.
I'm training three times a day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, weight cut. I think they're all crap. Everyone who cuts weight, I tell you, it's the fucking shittest bit of camp. It's a horrible bit of camp. You know what I mean? But it's a sacrifice we make, right?
Yeah. You're not going to be doing that for pleasure, right?
Nah. Yeah. But when there's money on the line,
it's worth it.
Yeah.
What's your team like as well? Who you got on your team? How are they helping you,
training
you for a while?
My team is, I'll tell you what, it's never been so good, man. It's solid as fuck. We're like, you say team, but they're like my brothers. They're like my brothers. I'd do anything for them. They'd do anything for me. And I truly, truly trust them. And I think that's a real big thing. There's a video on my Instagram. It's a bit cheesy. There's a little video on my Instagram where I'm saying you don't need 20 guys. Like some of these teams, they've got like 20 guys.
Yeah.
I've got like three or four. And if I'm honest, I could scale that down. I need one.
Yeah.
I need one guy. I mean, but my team is solid and I love them. They're my brothers. So my head coach is Alex Salisbury. The general, I like to call him. Big general. Absolute wizard on the map. We all know that. Gorilla. Big guy. Fast. When you'd look at him, you'd be like, he ain't moving that fast. Fucking moves like a gazelle. Solid. Actually, no one knows. Not a lot of people know this. Alex was undefeated as an amateur. Had a really good amateur career. Fought one of the guys I fought as well. I'd come back and do one more pro fight, which I'd love to see. I'd love to see that. You know what I mean? It'd be brilliant. But he's my head coach. And then my strength coach and my best pal is Arash Majidi. He helps me out a lot, a hell of a lot behind the scenes. Couldn't do a lot of that. And Will Thomas as well. Me and Will go back from school days. We've boxed together, jiu-jitsu together. I have Ollie Thompson helping me out as well. It's just solid, man. Solid.
Yeah.
Really solid. It's not a massive team.
Don't need it though sometimes.
I don't think you need it. And then there's too many voices saying, you do this, you do this. And I don't think we need it. It's a solid, solid team. And I say team, but like I said before, I feel like my family. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And when they're behind me, and when you truly, truly trust them, when you truly trust someone, truly trust your coaches, I feel amazing. When they walk out behind me, I'm like, I'm good here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm good here.
It's a good reason to have that mentality of going to war as well. You've invested that time in you, helped you out, trained you, whatever. You've invested your time as well, but... You have trust in what they're delivering.
Yeah,
You know what, for these boys and these people back home, kids and all that stuff.
Do you know what I mean? For me, right? Like many times at end of class, it's like the final class is at night. I've trained twice that day, so that's my third session. And then Alex would be like, right, okay, we finished now. Now we go on the bag. Now we go on ground and pound. Okay, now you're going to do shots. Now you're going to do suplexes. Like, I don't want to do it. I hate him at the time, but I trust him.
Yeah.
I trust him what he says. And, it works every single time.
Do you have any pre-fight rituals?
No, I tell you what, every single fight, all the boxing matches, all the jiu-jitsu matches, all the MMA fights, I've never had any rituals, but I tell you what, the last two outings have just been a bit shit. And I don't believe in it now, but I said something the other day. I was wearing the same pair of shorts twice. I never do that.
Yeah.
And it clicked in my head. Why did you wear the same? So maybe they're creeping in, but I don't believe in it, mate.
Burn those fucking things.
I don't believe in it, but I feel like we create our own luck. Sometimes you're lucky, sometimes you're unlucky, but I feel like majority of the time you create your own luck. Because if we just go around living our lives going, oh, I was unlucky there, I was lucky there, you're like pissing in the wind, you're floating around, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to go for something. You've just got to try your best and go for something. And yeah, that's it. Yeah, no pre-fight rituals, mate.
How did the contract come about with Bellator? What was the story there?
Like,
how did they reach out?
Okay, so it's mental, man. Actually, I was on holiday with my bird, and I was getting a little tattoo, and I had like five missed calls off Alex. Then she had a few calls from Alex, and then finished the tattoo, and then I got on the phone to him and I was just like buzzing, absolutely buzzing, like running around, jumping around. And then I weren't even meant to drink that night. And we were just like, come on, let's go out and have some drinks. And I got absolutely hammered just because I was buzzing, man. I got the phone call, yes. I got the phone call from my head coach, Bellator Europe's matchmaker.
Mm.
Got in contact with him and there you go. Mate, and then a week after that as well, I got offered a massive contract for someone else. Yeah. No, wait, I'm mentioning their names, but... Bellator was way up there, man.
Yeah.
Better, do you know what I mean? But it's like life's like bus stops. It's not a lot going on. Two or three come at once.
Yeah,
it's mad, mate. It's mad.
Where's this fight going to be with Bellator?
This is in Milan, Italy.
Okay.
Yeah, in a big venue.
It's going to be hard to keep grounded, you know, there, like, chilling in the sun.
I'm a really grounded guy, you know. You say that, but for me, I'll be grounded. If anything, you have to go, come on, Steve. Come on, cheer up. Do you know what I mean?
Are you bringing your team over with you?
Yeah. So I don't really know what's going on too yet. We've not sat down and said who's coming and who's doing what. Yeah. But I know for sure my strength coach, Arash Majidi, is coming. Mm-hmm. Alex Salisbury, my head coach, is coming. And we've not sat down and decided yet who's coming and doing what. But just for them two alone is enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
that's sick.
Yeah, you're right. It has paid off, because to say it hasn't paid off, but you made it better, was a cop out.
Mm.
But it has paid off. But I had all these people coming up to me, and for people who I don't even know, celebrate, like congratulate me, and that. It's nice. It's a nice feeling. But now I'm just like, it's worn off now. Mm. I'm like, yeah, thank you. Appreciate it, but like, I'll need to smash this guy.
Yeah,
I need to smash this guy, yeah. And I can't wait, because no one can say nothing. This guy's a stud.
Mm.
If you're not careful, this guy will put your lights out. Do you know what I mean? So it'll bring the best out of me.
Yeah,
for sure.
Don't be complacent, right?
Nah, man. Never complacency there, bro. Yeah. I'll meet him in the middle, and we know we're gonna trade level, man. We're gonna bang, yeah. He's gonna hit me. I'm gonna hit him. This is how it's gonna go, and then I'm going to kick him with some shit, look slick, and they'll probably walk onto something, rush in, I crack him. He might even shoot on me.
Yeah.
He might not like these hands, and then shoot, it's game over. I'll sub him.
Yeah. Do you have any pre-fight nerves?
Yeah.
Pre-competition nerves? Would you just go with the mentality of,
this is good, let's go? No, I do suffer with nerves. Quite a bit, to be fair. How do I deal with nerves? Because the thing is, the last couple of shows have been like main event, so you're like right at the end. So not a lot of fighters, Tyson goes on about, not a lot of fighters are ready to deal with that. Being at a show, being backstage for 3-4 hours in a locker room, you can hear the cheers and the boos and the screams and the crying out there. But for me, I have to try and chill my best. Just try and remember who you are, why you do this, why you train every day. But the time when I sit there and I do nothing, it's when I'm nervous. When we start cracking pads, when we start grappling backstage, and I've broke the first sweat, I'm like, now put me in.
Mm.
Hurry up, put me in. Lock the door. Lock the cage. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going to fuck his day up.
Yeah.
You know? And, I suffer with nerves. Mm. I feel like all the best guys do. If you don't, there's something wrong. There's something not quite right.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I think as well, nerves can be quite healthy. If you're going to do something, you need to perform. If you're not nervous, you just chill, you're probably going to go in there and get fucking starched. You know what I mean? Because you're just not ready. Your body's not in that fight mode. Whereas a thing with nerves come about, providing you can... It's a natural feeling, right? You've got that natural feeling, understand, I'm feeling like this because I'm about to go and do something. Absolutely mental.
I feel like the body is way more clever than what we know right now. Still don't feel like we know about the body and about the brain enough, even in 2022. Like, the brain knows what's going on. Like, my body and my brain on fight week, they just know.
Yeah.
Like, here comes the weight cut. Boom, drops off. Hit, like, going to the toilet an hour or so before your fight. I don't want to sound like dirty, but it knows.
Yeah.
Here it goes. Everything goes. Yeah, it's just like your body and your brain knows what's going on. You know what I mean? And just trying to relax and work out what's about to happen and believe in yourself and go in there and do your best. That's the way for me, how I do it, you know what I mean? And to calm myself down, I always think, I'm not scared of being cut, they're healed. Mm-hmm. I'm not scared of being knocked out, I'll wake up, I might have a sore head. I'm scared of embarrassing myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's my fear. And I feel like a lot of fighters are like that. We don't care if we get cut. We get cut in sparring, we get headbutted, it happens, we don't care.
Yeah.
Being embarrassed is a big thing. So that how I break that down in my head is, okay, so I'm going to be embarrassed. That's fine. And then we start to worry about who can judge us just because of the world we live in now.
Mm.
and social media and internet and things like this. Then I think, right, okay, if my mum and dad still love me and the people who really care about me love me, everything else is irrelevant. And that calms me down a hell of a lot. You're thinking all outside the box, thinking of all these people, what they're going to say to you, you should have done this, you should have done that. And you worry about what they're going to think. You worry about what a guy that when you're walking down the street after a fight and you've lost, you think to yourself, he knows. He looks you in the eye and he knows. He don't know. But because you're embarrassed by it, you hold your head down. But mate, if I even if I lose, I'm going to keep going. I love fighting. I will keep going. I'll be on a 10-fight losing streak. I'll keep going. People might not believe me now, but I don't want to do anything else. This is what I want to do. If I can make this pay, then I'll be a fucking very happy man, you know?
What do you think your best asset is?
Striking, ground game, just well-rounded, the mentality you bring to the fight. I know it's quite a broad question, but in yourself and within your confidence, you kind of favour maybe slightly an element of your game where you're like, you're not fancying the chance against anyone here, but maybe leg kicking and throwing kicks isn't my strongest point. Do you know what I mean? I know you're going to be well-rounded with it, but there's always things we can improve on, right?
I'll be very honest with you, mate. I feel like... I feel like I'm good everywhere, but I'm always trying to perfect everywhere, and you're never going to perfect it. So I'm just trying to get good everywhere all the time. I don't believe I'm the best boxer. I don't believe I'm the best kickboxer. I don't believe I'm the best grappler. But when I put it all together, I put it all together really well. That's my biggest asset, is putting it together. Putting it together well and timing. Timing, you know? I don't feel like there's a lot of guys around here who have my timing. They might have their timing and their striking, or they're grappling, but can you guys put it all together? I know you can't.
Yeah.
I'd probably say one of my biggest assets is my grappling. I believe if I lock my hands up against anyone, you're going down. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I'm fucking Hicks and Gracie, but I'm a very good grappler. You know what I mean? And if I put you down, you've got to really work to get back up these days, you know? I'd probably say putting it all together.
Yeah.
I'd like to say my grappling, but everyone knows this question.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Everyone knows I'm a really good grappler, but...
No, I was going to agree with you on that, putting it together, because you can see some people that look amazing in the gym and have certain element,
or even separate elements, like, oh, that guy's sick on the ground, and then, oh, mate, smashing the bag, and then... But men just doing rounds of sparring, and suddenly he's got no idea what he's doing, or he's all over the place because he doesn't know how to level change appropriately when shots come in, or to set things up, even. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, it looks good in the bag, it looks good rolling on the ground. So I think that's a good asset to kind of.
Yeah, mate, it weren't always like that as well. When I first started, I couldn't put it together that well. I was a good boxer, I was a good jiu-jitsu guy for an amateur, I was like a blue belt, trying to do MMA, and it wasn't all that well at the start, but I understood that if I work hard, keep practicing, keep trying, it's gonna come. It has to come. If it don't come, I'll drive myself nuts. Do you know what I mean? I will drive myself nuts until I get it right.
What are your future plans and goals? Where do you see this kind of snowballing?
Future plans. I'd love to be in the top 10 in a big organisation. Hopefully the one I'm in now. With lots of money. Let's not lie about it. We're prize fighters, right? We're fighting for money. We're fighting for a better life. Just a better life for myself and everyone around me, really. I try and bring all the lads up with me. And they're my goals. Being in the top 10 is a big one. I'd love that. Love that. But one step at a time.
Yeah.
What's the contract with Bellator? Are you looking at, is it a 3-5 deal, 5-5 deal, 1-5 deal, or how's that?
More than all of them.
More than all of them?
That's all I'm going to say.
That's fine. Yeah. You don't have to give the T's and C's. It's good to know. Sometimes you do have that, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's the best deal I've heard of. Yeah. No one's had a deal like that before. Not round here, anyway.
No. That's so good, man.
Being offered things.
More than 5, less than 10. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
It's still good, though. Do you know what I mean? That's where it's on paper, but brilliant, and that's where you can, like, get a vibe of what's going on, training camp, start getting things in place, preparation, while you're out of the rankings. Do you know what I mean? Like, whereas if you've got, like, a 2-5 deal or some shit,
yeah.
Kind of like, oh,
if you've got a 2-5 deal, you better get in there, look spectacular and get something done.
Yeah.
And then they sit down and, do you know what I mean, and reevaluate this.
Whereas when you've been offered the contract you've been offered, it's kind of like, I'm already spectacular. My results already speak for themselves. They value me in this. Do you know what I mean?
They definitely value me, I believe.
Yeah.
But we're all assets. So if the asset don't work out, off you go.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not, you know what I mean? It's like you have to get out there and still look good and win. Otherwise, things can be drawn underneath your feet, pulled away from you, believe it. You know what I mean? So I've seen it before. This game is ruthless. It's a ruthless old game. Mate, I've heard of guys on 5-fight win streaks just because they're a little bit boring and they get dropped from certain organisations.
Yeah.
You're like, what? It's a ruthless game, mate. It's a ruthless game.
What's going to be your sort of approach as well in the sense of the media and like that?
Going to be just being
smack talking a little bit.
Ah, listen. I do like that.
Yeah.
It brings an element of unneeded pressure sometimes. And it ain't really me. I will do it if it's being done to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, fuck it. Let's do it. You know what I mean? We're at the party now, and if you're talking shit, let's talk shit. And I've done it in the past, but usually I just like to be myself, like lay back, humble, be respectful, and just answer the questions they're giving me, really.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Without sounding too much, like sending everyone asleep.
No. Sometimes you've got to be that way, though, isn't it?
Because what's worse if you talk shit? Go out there.
Yeah.
And the shit you smoke doesn't quite happen.
Yeah.
And people suddenly become fucking mean on the internet. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shit.
That's my claim to fame, I mean.
Yeah.
As well, I feel like some guys, it's so put on. It looks so fake.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's cringy. Like, oh.
Henry Cejudo, right?
Oh, it's so bad, isn't it? Yeah. So bad. I mean, he is one of the GOATs, ability-wise, and that. But when he opens his mouth, you're like, oh. Please don't.
Ah, shit, man.
It's hard to watch, isn't it? Yeah. It's hard to watch, but in the cage, animal.
Yeah, another level, right?
Yeah, I
agree with you.
Cool.
Well, we've been going for a good period of time.
Yeah, got a thing you want.
Yeah,
is there anything you want to add on? Anything you want to do? Where people can follow you on socials, things like that?
Yeah, you can follow me at Stephen Hill BJJ on Instagram. I don't really do Facebook, but I'm only an Instagram guy at the moment. If you want to come train with me, I'm at Novo up in Hastings. Novo Jiu-Jitsu. Yeah, man. Tune in. BBC iPlayer, October 29th.
Bam.
Bam, let's go.
Sweet. Cheers,
thanks for having me, mate. Thanks for having me.